This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop. Because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, everybody. We are back for another week with a DeGrads podcast, the Degrassi Rewatch podcast, with two of the stars of said show who have never actually seen it, and we're doing it now.
That's right. It's called a breakup because it's broken, people, and other things you say to yourself when you just aren't compatible with your partner. On this episode, of course, we are recapping Dressed in Black.
My name is Shane Warren Kipple. I play Gavin Spinner Mason.
And I'm Mike Lobel, a.k.a. Jay Hogarth. And I had a real hard time contacting Shane this week because he was on a bit of an adventure. And we were also at the same exact place and didn't know it.
We did not know it. I saw a couple shows this week, and I will be at another one come Sunday.
Live music, people. Get out of your house.
That's right. Go out there, touch grass.
There's a whole world out there.
Open air concerts. That's what the summer is all about. We were at the Jack White and Jean Dupoitrine show.
But I was in the nosebleeds and you were on the floor. I'm so jealous.
I was. And I mean, technically, you could say you were on the floor, too. We would have no pictures to prove it.
Yeah, they made us lock up our phones. That's the first time I've ever experienced that. What did you think of it?
I really liked it. Logistically, for the people that had to be in charge of unlocking those pouches and everything, nightmare. Yeah. And you have all of this unfocused energy, this nervous, like, what do I do with my hands now? And you just have to be present in the
moment.
That's
right.
It was great.
You just look at the stage. You know, at first I got to admit, a little butthurt by the whole thing. I was like, you're going to tell me what to do with my, I'm a grown adult, man. I make my own choices. And then about 20 minutes into the concert, when you looked out, because I was in the nosebleeds, and I could see the entire audience, there was not a single lit up screen. It was like the old times. It was like we're all there and we're all paying attention, and there was such a, like, the vibe around that was so magic.
Yeah, there was nothing else. You had to deal with the person that you were with. There was no escaping from who you were. You had no security blanket. You had no crutch, you know?
I danced.
I danced. We all danced.
Did you do the triangle with your, did you show Angine Poitrine how much of a
of course
follower, a cult follower we are? I did. Amazing. All right. Well, what do we got today, Shaney boy?
What do we got today? Well, we have an episode of Degrassi. And we're going to talk about it. And it seems about right.
I think so.
Yeah. So this episode is Dressed in Black. Hat tip to Miss Ashley Kerwin. Season 2, episode 18. Canadian air date, January 19th, 2003. U.S. air date, August 15th, 2003. Written by Sean Yara, Aaron Martin with the story, and Yana Senor. Teleplay director Gavin Smith.
They flipped roles.
But okay, for those of you that don't know, Gavin Smith, for the early seasons of Degrassi, maybe like the first five of Next Generation, he was our director of photography. I didn't remember him directing an episode at all.
Who shot
the
cinematography in this episode was done by Phil Earnshaw. Yeah.
No
way, man.
No, it's impossible. No,
seriously. And I noticed that watching the credits. So it's baked in there. So if there was a mistake, it was in the actual credit roll. So that's, you know, it's real.
Damn. Damn. Everyone's just, what are we, Sloan? Everyone's just changing
another
instruments.
Great Canadian band. So Dressed in Black, okay. There's a few songs called Dressed in Black, but obviously this is about the Depeche Mode song. Now, let me tell you, this is going to go back to a whole nother concert experience, because one of my first concert experiences was watching Depeche Mode. And ooh. I saw them, and I just to testify to my gothness, I was wearing fishnets on my arms. I was in a black mini skirt. It was pretty, you know, pretty goth. And I had like eyeliner, the nail polish, the whole thing. And they did play this song, which is a deep cut from the 1986 album Black Celebration. And like a lot of that record, the song kind of explores isolation and feelings of longing. And then obviously the tension of, you know, between appearance and also how people might, you know, like the previous version of you, kind of like Ashley. So we're going to unpack all that and the meaning of it today.
Baking away,
right, so
toys.
We start this episode in a nice, dark, it's Ashley's room, it's dark, atmospheric, candles flicker on her digital piano as she passionately serenades Jimmy. They're really connecting now. So she wrote this song about him. Jimmy is looking just a little bit uncomfortable as we roll the opening credits. I couldn't really tell what he was playing at there. I thought, is he down for this? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he didn't like the lyrics, if he thought maybe she was getting a little too attached too quickly.
Ironic.
Or if the vibe was off, if he didn't like the candles. I couldn't tell, but he was not having a good time. And he was not, has no poker face.
But then the next day, okay, so the next scene answers it for me entirely, because the next day at school, Jimmy approaches Ashley. He pulls out last year's yearbook, hoping that she's going to sign it now that they're back together. So obviously he really does. He's into it. He's into her. Mm. Ashley flips through it. She sees her old plain look and she scoffs. Just then a couple bullies pass by and insult her goth style. Kit Wayman is one of those bullies, by the way, who I went to high school with and can confirm he's a real sweetheart in real life.
I went to life with
you
Derek.
You went to another show with him. Yeah, he's a really sweet guy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's great. I actually forgot that he was on Degrassi for a very little bit. But then we had a lot of fun talking about that when I ended up on life with Derek.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He lent my band a car, a vintage, sweet, sweet ride. I can't remember what it was, for a music video. Anyway, Jimmy tries to cheer Ashley up. If guys like that knew how beautiful you were on the inside. Ooh.
Oh, I actually missed that. Oh,
I know. It went right over my head the first time and I had to replay it. Because Ashley's reaction is just like,
I know what he was trying to say there. sometimes you just, it's not the right words. Sentiment is there, but the words,
the math of the words,
are what are heard.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But here too, like I found this episode, and as it goes on, we'll see more of it. There is this real, like, hot and cold, scene to scene, disjointed vibe with Ashley and Jimmy. Like she is head over heels for him. He's head over heels for her, but never in the same scene are they feeling the same way about each other. And it doesn't even seem like the way that one character feels from scene to scene progresses naturally. I don't know. It's a little strange. I'm going to say it. Their relationship has always seemed forced to me. And now just end it. just
well,
be done with it.
Spoiler alert, you're going to get your wish.
Yeah, I'm happy I did.
All right. Coach Armstrong holds up a condom in front of his class. JT and Toby lament that Dr. Sally is in China. Send her a plane ticket or something, JC says. Coach tells the kids about the concept of abstinence, which none of them seem to know about. And JT launches a stretched condom into the air, and when his back is turned, it lands right on Coach's back. Of course, the class erupts into laughter.
Always have a condom.
All right, in
you.
Kwan's class, they're learning The Taming of the Shrew by Shakespeare, of course. And the assignment is that everybody gets a random scene partner and they have to perform act two, scene one. When Jimmy and Ashley realize that they're not paired together, however, they are mega bummed.
Yes. Ashley with Craig, Jimmy with
Hazel. And you start to see the seeds of the Ashley Craig thing in this episode, which was really cool.
Yeah. But it's immediate too, right? Like it's almost like these two were waiting in the wings for their respective significant other later on. But I like they moved in fast too. Did you find that?
So funny, and Craig is so understanding and on my wavelength.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm here for it. Yeah. In the hallway, Craig approaches his scene partner, Ashley. She's not into the play, but Craig agrees. He says it's sexist, outdated, unfunny. His idea, let's just go with it. Let's lean into it and play what's actually going on. And Ashley is really surprised by this. I thought that was kind of a clever take on it, too. It's like, let's show this thing in a new light. So they are obviously on the same page.
Yeah.
At lunch now, Toby is confused about when you're supposed to buy condoms, like in life.
Not how do you use them, buy them.
When do I buy, like at what point is the right point?
When is the right time?
It's just so funny. I mean, look, we all have that question. Yeah. Okay, just me. JT thinks they should buy the...
The answer is always be prepared. That's the answer.
I'm a preparer. I'm an over-preparer.
Yeah. Listen, condoms last for a very long time. So if you're not sure when or if or how much sex you're going to have, just buy a box and keep it in a drawer somewhere and you're set for like 7 years.
You're good. Okay? JT thinks they should be bought immediately. No time like the present, he said. Toby says that it's way too early for him and Kendra, but JT pushes him. He uses his charm and his humor. And after all, don't you want to be prepared?
I look forward to the scene where they're buying these things.
I'm surprised. First of all, we're not there yet, but like, I thought it was funny that Spinner had a website.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know.
We're on Spinner's locker page. It was called his locker page.
So is it like an early form of Facebook?
Seems like it, or like MySpace at that point.
Or
maybe?
Did Spinner just straight up know how to code his own website?
And how was he just behind them in this room as well? Like, look behind you.
It was a setup.
Questions.
I liked it. I just thought it was funny. It was a funny little, it was like, oh, okay. It's got a website. Sure.
Yeah.
Where he just puts his, it's like a blog. It's an early version of a blog.
No. But to me, I mean, did you get that everybody in the school has something like this? Because it's a high-tech school, everyone has their own page here.
But you use it, Spinner. Spinner uses it.
Yeah, Spinner of all people uses.
Which is funny. Yeah, I like the idea that he goes home and he like runs upstairs to the family computer and sits down and like puts his feelings out on the internet.
Not now, Mom. I'm trying to get this out.
Another day, another failure. Hazel and Jimmy are laughing about their version of the Taming of the Shrew scene when Ashley walks up. And Hazel and Jimmy are getting along real great. Wink, wink. But Ashley,
your boyfriend is so funny.
He's so funny. Or dreamy. She spots the old... This is Ashley. She spots the old pre-goth photo in Jimmy's locker and tells him, please burn it. But he likes it. It stays. And she really doesn't like it. It's a subtle episode, right? Because she keeps kind of saying what she thinks, and Jimmy kind of like brushes it off a little bit.
He brushes it off. I'm glad we're having this conversation. Yes, he brushes it off, but to make the comparison that he is trying to, you know, get her to conform and you know, and tame her and make her submit. I didn't find that either. He's just like, he's so mild-mannered about the thing. He's just saying, like, I really like this picture of you. Yes, I liked last year's style more, but he's not asking her to bring it back either.
You know,
she's feeling that pressure. I agree. You know?
This reminded me of something that happens in my relationship, which is that, and I, you know, I like to take a lot of photographs because you never know which one's going to have that magic. And so, and I'll take a bunch of my wife, and then, she'll be like, okay, pick the good one and delete all the rest. And I'm like, I don't want to delete the rest. I'm never going to publish them online. You know, I want them. They're like, they're moments of her, and I don't really care what she looks like or what she thinks she looks like. They're special to me.
Exactly. Yeah. I get that. But here, like, when they go into the, their version of, Taming of the Shrew, their adaptation, and Ashley, when she's explaining their vision, is looking right at Jimmy to get him to understand. I felt really bad for him. Mm-hmm. I understand her position, but I really don't think it's, if Craig is supposed to embody in that moment
Petruchio?
How Jimmy is treating her.
Yeah. No.
That's
for sure. I think what happened, you know what the episode to me is, it's like a good illustrator of how two people with just slightly different values, when they kind of like fight for their own perspectives, can end up miles away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's, so I feel like it's obviously, it's not that he's being like that. It's mm-hmm. just that it's just an illustration that maybe they're not compatible.
And as you said earlier on, when it's broken, a breakup means it's broken. And there's a reason that you broke up. You can try to justify it later, but getting back together and trying to make these old pieces fit again is never
a good idea. Now we're going to get letters.
Well, hey, if anyone out there has done it successfully,
I would love to know.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
In my experience, never do it. Just never do it. I am very slow to learn my lesson, but I will never do it again.
There we go. Little relationship advice from someone experienced.
But you've gone back to exes too, or you haven't?
Yeah. No.
And look at you. Look at you and look at me, okay?
No, dude.
This is a product of going back to your exes.
No, don't. Let's not go there.
Yeah.
Come on, Shane. Easy.
You're just sitting here with a picture of Britney Spears and flying planes. And
hey, man, flying planes is pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Pretty
talking
damn
about
cool.
The show I was on 25 years ago, and look at you. Look at your life.
Don't let him get into a plane right now, folks. He's upset.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. At the pharmacy, Toby and JT marvel at all the different styles, the colors, and the flavors of condoms. Too bad no bacon, says JT.
The flavors of bacon. The
Canadian flavors condoms. Some strange ones. After a lightsaber battle with a pair of walking canes, they shamefully bring their haul to the young female cashier, who I think is just on the phone with her boyfriend, it sounds
like. She definitely is on the phone with her boyfriend. Yeah.
She is highly suspicious of these two dubious gentlemen. What follows is the most painfully awkward over-explanation imaginable.
Yeah.
JT caps it off with an embarrassing pickup line. He asks for her phone number.
Yeah, we're just doing this together, but like not together. I just want to be perfectly clear.
We're just buying condoms separately
as friends for our own things.
For our own separate things.
Did you clock the guy restocking in the back that gave them the dirty look?
Oh,
you didn't see
that? No.
There was a guy who was stocking the shelves, and when they were giving their explanation, he just turns. He was like, I laughed out loud.
This whole scene rings true. I know it's funny, but guess what? That's how it felt the first time I ever bought condoms. I was so embarrassed.
That's still how it feels when I buy condoms.
It's embarrassing, man.
Yeah. You just like, thank God for self-checkout now. That's basically right.
Or either that or you go up and you just hit it with the most confidence ever. Throw them on the desk and just be like, those are for sex.
Looking at them square in the eye.
Yeah.
Eyebrows raised.
Yeah.
Or you could do like the Texas Hold'em, like just a hood on, like you're walking into a sex shop, except it's just a pharmacy. Sunglasses on.
Exactly. Yeah. With the hood on, you slap it down with your sunglasses, you go, now we just have to wait. Toby shoots JT a subtle look of murder. It's dinner now at Toby and Ashley's house, and Jimmy is the guest of honor. Toby gets twitchy when the conversation turns to handing out condoms to high school students. Ashley and her mom are for access. The kids are going to do it anyway. They should have protection. Makes sense. But Jimmy, in a kind of a rare moment we come to understand of truth, sides with Jeff, Toby's dad. And he basically says, yeah, handing out condoms sends a message. Ashley is a little upset by this, although she says that it's nice to finally know what he really thinks about something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clear that they're not really getting along.
Yeah. And first off, that was such a weird question right off the bat.
Yeah.
Armstrong had his sex talk today. Oh, yeah? Did he hand out condoms? Like, around the dinner table? Like,
what? Totally unprompted.
Totally unprompted.
Yeah. We have to have the scene, so we got to have someone just launch into it.
But Jimmy, he seems like a very good, wholesome guy, and he will do whatever. He just wants to take care of his lady and make sure she's having a good time. So I see it from his perspective.
Yeah.
He's not, even though he does have his opinion, which he wants, and he should speak his mind, he would rather not rock the boat.
Yeah.
He's a guest in her house, and
he's happy to just like give the space over. And I actually really appreciate that. But I do think, again, like, this isn't so much about what they fight about. It's who they are. And she wants to have opinions, and she wants to like put things in songs and like speak truth to power and put her emotions out there and tell people what she thinks. And he doesn't want to do that. And I think they're feeling, you know, not a right fit.
That's actually, you bring up a good point there, because Craig is very much the wear your heart on your sleeve, poetic,
very
plays music.
That, totally. Yeah, you're right.
Strong opinions and not afraid to speak his mind.
Yeah. And acts out of emotion, right?
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jimmy plays all that close to the chest. Yeah.
That's
no,
right.
So it does.
Jimmy's
make sense.
Quiet. Like,
Jimmy
and when
quiet.
He's on stage, even answering Quan's questions later on, I was like, wow, he's really like subdued.
Strong, silent type is what he is.
And it's funny because Aubrey's not like that at all.
Not at all.
No. So he is playing this character pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That was Drake, everyone.
Yeah.
At school, JT hides the condom stash in their locker. When Spinner walks up rehearsing Shakespeare, JT insults his ability to grasp the text. And so,
no, to walk and talk.
To walk
that's
and
what
talk.
It was.
That's right. Yeah. I was giving him too much credit. Yeah. To walk and talk. and Spinner slams him into the locker, sending all those condoms flying everywhere right in front of Emma and Manny. JT and Emma kind of accidentally suggest that it was Toby throwing him under the bus.
Yeah, it must have been Toby's.
Must have been Toby.
Excuse me.
They kind of give JT an out here. I was like, oh, that's nice.
That's nice. Not for Toby, though.
Yeah, he's not even there to defend himself. Spinner fumes that Toby might be thinking about having sex with his kid sister and vows to make him sorry he's alive.
Mm-hmm. Like Spinner piecing this together like the end of The Usual Suspects. He's like, yeah. You, wait, dude, what? But.
What?
Condoms?
Kobayashi.
Toby? Your friend? Yeah, that's right. No, Kaiser Sose.
Kaiser Sose.
Yes.
Well, in the hallway, Craig snaps a Polaroid of Ashley as she is now. And she gives it to Jimmy, hoping that he's going to replace the photo. But Jimmy declines. He wants to keep them both. Ashley asks which one he likes better. This is the real moment of truth, right? This is where she's just going to point out, point blank, just ask him, do you like me now or do you like me back then? Like, which version of me do you like better?
Mm-hmm.
So he's cornered and he has to admit that he likes the old one.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, he is not in this moment, sorry to keep jumping to his defense, but he's not saying like that he likes her, the version of her back then. He's just her look.
The look.
Like
I know.
The hair, the style. It doesn't, to her, it's all encompassing. To him, I think he's just going like, you know, I this was like the makeup and the hair. Like that's kind of, I found it.
It is, he is talking more about her aesthetic. I'm wondering if she feels like her aesthetic is a real true expression of who she is now.
That's why it's all encompassing for her. It's not just the style. The style is, yes, it's what's...
It's like her identity is kind of forming, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Look, my grandmother used to say when I was in my goth period... I won't call it a phase because I'm still goth inside. But my grandmother used to say things like, oh, why did you dye your hair purple? Like, you had such nice hair color. And I'd be like, Grandma. It was mildly annoying. But, like, I also, like, I got it. It's like you're from a different time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also found this moment a little... Like Craig going a little bit too far. You see the disappointment all over his face when he takes the picture for her and she's like, great, I'm going to give this to Jimmy. He's like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
right,
Jimmy.
Right.
Jimmy. Yeah, that's right.
It's true. There was a little pang, I think, I sensed there.
And there's a part of me that's like, are there already feelings? Have they spent like next to no time together and they're really vibing with each other? That seems to be a little bit fast. And then I also think that's how it works. You can have a 10-second exchange with a person and go like, I'm gonna marry them.
I'm gonna marry them. Definitely having their children.
Yeah.
No, it's true. And also Craig is like, he's intense in this episode.
Yeah.
He is definitely more towards manic, I think, in terms of just his presentation in this one.
And he has that moment coming up during their presentation where he embodies his father's spirit.
Oh my god, dude,
looked a lot like him too. Yeah. In that the hair, the glasses, obviously that was a choice, but that was Hugh Dillon.
Yeah, I was Hugh Dillon. This is seriously good writing and seriously good acting. Jake, you're really good, man. Lobster claws. Shane's doing lobster claps, snaps. In front of her bedroom mirror now, Ashley flips through last year's yearbook and makes a choice. The next day, Ashley walks into school. Only this time, she's dressed like she used to. Mm-hmm. Students gawk in disbelief. What happened to the goth girl? One of them, by the way, one of those girls who's teasing her is a cameo from a later season. It's Bailey Corneal, who plays Amy.
Oh, that was Bailey.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
And
nice.
She only, I looked into it. She only comes in as a character in season three. So in the next season.
Yeah,
so
she was background.
She started
pretty
background.
Much since day one. Yeah.
That's really cool to know that you can start as background and then eventually you get a role on the show. That's it's unusual that happens.
Yeah, but I mean, like many of the background actors, not all of them, but many of them, this was their, like they had their interest in film and this is how they were making their money while they were auditioning for mm-hmm. speaking roles, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, but it is kind of, it doesn't always have to work out that way that what you are playing background on, what you are hired as background on and you've been there for like 2-3 years, then suddenly you end up on that show.
That's what I mean. Being on the same show that you were on. Background. Yeah. Like it makes sense that you're background and then you go and you do more principal work on other shows in the future, but like to be on the show you start on
the show
that's cool.
I'm wondering, do her fellow background actors, do they shun her? Is like, listen, okay, you know what, you think you're better than
You've
us
gone
now?
To the dark side.
Yeah. Or does she go like, sorry, guys, I can't be seen talking to you anymore.
Yeah, just pulls the ladder right up behind her. No, Bailey's really sweet. I do really like Bailey. She's a very cool girl. Mm-hmm. I digress. In class, Ellie tells Ashley that she isn't buying Ashley's sudden change back to her old self. When Spinner and Jimmy walk in, wow, Spinner says, you actually look alive. I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. Jimmy is also stunned, and Ashley does her best to own her choices, but it just doesn't seem quite comfortable.
I found it a little ironic that Ellie was saying something to Ashley when this is probably the most tame version aesthetically of Ellie we've seen since she's been on the show. She was like barely wearing any makeup.
Very
she was wearing
down.
No black at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, Ashley, you're kind of tame today.
No, she should have had like a big bowl ring in her, septum and all that stuff.
Pot calling the kettle black there.
Pot calling the kettle goth. Hey, yo, I'll be here all week.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
JT and Toby are in the computer lab. Here it is. Checking out Spinner's locker page. Specifically the whose face should I rearrange poll. I like to see the polls were a thing back then. That's cool.
Spoiler alert. There was only one choice to be made.
That's right.
There was a monopoly.
It was in progressively larger and larger font. Each choice was Toby Isaacs. Suddenly, a message pops up on the screen. It's Spinner. Look behind you. They turn and they see Spinner peek out from behind a computer. He was there the whole time, like a real creep. Toby bolts and Spinner gives chase. Toby is now tearing down the hallway. He's actually kind of like crawling in between and under people and trying to hide by, being as small as he can.
It's basic training in the military, right? He's running the obstacle course.
Yeah, it's the obstacle course of people. Thankfully, he spots Kendra, To his surprise, she slams him against a locker, much like her older brother. It runs in
that's
the family.
That's my sister.
And calls him a pervert. It was a great little scene. She's like, how old am I? And he's like, 13. He's like, what grade am I in? He's like, grade 9. She's like,
yeah,
you're a pervert.
Did she not say 14? Whatever it was. Too young. Too young. But that was hilarious. I like the reveal there where, like, Toby's, as he's making his way through the people, he stands in front of her. He's like, oh, thank God. But you don't even know who it is yet.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she just takes him. And she was like, Jake's not a big guy, but Katie is still smaller than him. And I love that she can even just, like, throw him up against the lockers.
No obstacle.
No.
Yeah, no, that's funny. He looks so, his reactions in this episode are priceless. He's just given up. The whole episode, he's just giving up. He's just, this is life.
Just let it happen. Yeah, that's right.
This is my life now.
What have I become?
Hazel, Terry, Paige, and Ashley are sitting on a bench in front of the school talking about fashion. They're talking about jeans, actually. When Paige confronts Ashley, why did she change all of a sudden back into her old style? Ashley makes an excuse and bails. In the woods now, Ashley and Craig rehearse. I can also attest to, I did go to theater school. Well, I went to art school, and I do remember rehearsing in the woods like this. I filmed a little scene for one of my for my English class when we were studying 1984 by George Orwell.
Yeah.
And I basically had like a scene from 1984. I basically did this scene study, but with 1984, but I had to write the dialogue because like half of it didn't exist. But we did it in the woods. Anyways, just reminded me of this.
Was this the first time that we used the Ravine set?
Oh,
I don't think I've seen it.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah.
I haven't either. I think you might be right.
Yeah.
I would have clocked that.
Fun fact, everybody, when we were coming up with the name for this podcast, I came into it because I had been thinking about it for a bit. I thought it would be best to name this The Ravine because of our characters. But then cooler heads prevailed and we thought we would have a nice little play on words. And that brought us to D-Grads, which is also a great name. But Ravine was the front runner for
it. It was up there. It really was. And I did actually, funny enough, I think on our Discord, I saw people who were advocating for a Ravine type name.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll find it.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
All right. We're changing the name.
We were on the money.
We're rebranding.
From this day forth. All right. So Craig and Ashley, while Craig is in the woods, he's going over his lines and Ashley arrives and she starts questioning their interpretation of the scene of the play. What if we're wrong about Petruchio? Maybe Petruchio is the lead character, obviously, in this Shakespeare play, Taming of the Shrew. Maybe he's just a misunderstood lover. But Craig points out that that's not true. It's wishful thinking. He's abusive. If he really loved Kate, he would love her for who she is. And that seems to land pretty hard on Ashley.
But see, in this moment, this is where I feel very bad for Jimmy, because it's almost Ashley comes in, I think, understanding that Jimmy might, with what he's doing, just doesn't have a clue what it's doing to Ashley, even though he's not being oppressive in any way and he's not asking anything. This is how it's making her feel. And Craig is like, no. No, he's a terrible person. Jimmy is a terrible person. Well,
I don't know if Craig knows doesn't. She's thinking about Jimmy, but that's
obviously
what
obviously not. But that's what
Ashley's taking from it for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
She's kind of making all these connections, and she's applying it to her life. But I agree. I think she's over applying it. And you know, like a more adult thing to do would be to sit down with Jimmy and have a conversation about values.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just say, you know, like say how she feels. That doesn't really happen. So he doesn't really get a chance.
That's true, but a lot of people, when given the opportunity to explain themselves, I find that either like someone like Jimmy would probably not be forthcoming with everything that he felt, and many people don't even know how or why they feel about certain things. So the answers they give in when actually put on the spot might not even be accurate. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it would have done them any good.
Yeah. But still, it would have been, this whole episode could have been moot if Ashley said, I'm afraid that you don't like me now and that you're like in love with this past version, and give him the opportunity to say, no, look, I'm sorry. You're right. I was a little hung up on the change, but like I can, you know, I can figure out how to feel better about it. And I just, you know, there's no deeper conversation. Like none.
That's a good point.
Neither of them are talking about it really. They're kind of just they're doing it all through this play. They're living it. They're play acting it all out, and then she comes up to her own conclusion really off of a conversation with Craig, and then she ends the relationship. So
what I also want to know is, what interest does, if Ashley has changed so much inside and out, why is she still interested in Jimmy? Or is it the same thing, like it was an old comfort and maybe there's still something there, and very quickly realizes that there isn't?
Yeah,
because it doesn't seem like she would be attracted to all that much of what Jimmy is now, even though he hasn't really changed.
Well, back in those days, and I can only speak for myself, but I would fall in love with the idea of people.
Oh, yeah.
It's a projection. It's not a hologram. That's not the real person. So I think she's done a little bit of that, probably. Maybe.
Probably.
Could be a reason. Spinner corners Toby in the hallway, cocking his fist, ready to deliver the facial rearrangement he promised online. Toby insists he wasn't thinking about sex. He just wanted to be prepared in case Kendra ever wanted to have sex because he cares about her. Mm. When Toby mentions JT was involved, Spinner realizes this was JT's idea all along.
The blocking of this scene, I remember that, like, it just, this awkward fist right up there the whole time, and the nose against his face,
and the cut into your eyes, just like,
yeah, just do that right there. I feel
it's
like
it's comedy,
it's like
gold.
Driving this slow fist through his face. But yeah, I remember,
did you
my
realize
nose.
How funny it was? Like, you guys must have been laughing.
Oh, we were. It was very hard to keep a straight face there, but I remember the day of, like, I could, the only thing I remember from this episode, literally the only thing I remember from this episode, is that, and just pushing my face up against Jake's face for the length of this scene. And
yeah, they're basically smushed together in this.
Yeah.
It's super hysterical.
Yeah.
All right. Jimmy tries to connect with Ashley, but she's not okay. She brushes it off as just nerves before the big performance. Now in the theater on stage, Hazel and Jimmy, as football player and cheerleader, absolutely charm the audience. They love it. But when Jimmy explains the reason why they went with this approach, the football and the cheerleader, he explains pretty casually that Petruchio turns Kate into his own personal cheerleader. Ashley, hearing this, winces.
Mm.
Now it's Ashley and Craig's turn. Their version of the scene becomes a brutally realistic depiction of domestic violence. It's really intense. The audience is speechless. They explain that they don't see the play as a comedy, as it's intended to be, because it was supposed to be a comedy, but as the systemic breaking of a person's spirit.
Mm-hmm. Like breaking a horse, right? Breaking
that's
a wild
right.
horse. Yeah.
And that's where your close-up of Jimmy is. And I think he finally is connecting the dots maybe there. He's realizing like what Ashley is trying to communicate, again trying to communicate, trying, but never communicate. Actually uses, like, you know, her words to do it. Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I actually think I flipped on Ashley a little bit.
yeah
Like
onto my side of things.
Well, I just think that this is a conversation that needs to be had, and no one's having this conversation, and so she's kind of judge, jury, and executioner before she's even, you
given
know
him a chance to.
Well, the accused isn't even in the courtroom.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And I also, that was a really uncomfortable moment, obviously, with, you know, Craig and his hand on Ashley's throat. But could you just imagine your girlfriend who you know there's something up with and it's already on the, rocks, and then you're watching someone that I don't really know Jimmy and Craig's relationship, really. I have a feeling that it's not great because Craig is friends with Sean, first and foremost.
Yeah,
but
sure,
like then this guy has his hand on your girlfriend's throat and you just have to sit there and watch it. Like, that's, I don't know.
I think it would probably stir some emotions.
It would stir some feelings. And for me, I would start thinking about like how they rehearsed this, if she was okay with this, did she want this, all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, did she maybe not want this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Spinner drags Toby into a classroom where a crowd of students admire JT, tied up in a straitjacket and face mask made entirely of glow-in-the-dark condoms. Spinner gives it to him straight. It's not that you bought condoms. It's that there's already enough pressure out there about having sex, and Kendra doesn't need any more of it from you two, which I thought was a sweet and kind of a considerate motive, albeit misguided approach.
Mm. I didn't know Spinner felt this way about sex.
Yeah.
We live in a culture of sex and decadence.
Well, I think it's more about like just the pressure of like for a young girl of being, you know, everything is geared towards. Yeah, I just think it's the pressure of having sex before
of course.
Feeling ready. I thought it was very sweet.
It was just funny to watch Spinner take a stand on something. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it was good. I liked it. I liked it. I was like, also, I like discovering characters like Spinner actually have. One, a brain, depth, which we know
someday,
he has,
yeah.
But something like a line that he draws, right? And we're going to see that more later in the series, I've been told, wink, wink, wink.
One last question, though. That condom that fit around JT's head,
yeah, they
were who's
mine.
That for? That's not for me. That's some serious girth, you know what I'm saying?
There
that
it some wouldn't tear big condoms in this episode. Big.
That was a quadruple XL condom to be able to fit over Ryan's head and not tear.
What do you mean? That was a normal size.
Oh, what?
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
All right, finally, here it is, the moment we've been waiting for. Ashley approaches Jimmy with his signed yearbook. He begins reading the inscription. It's a heartbreaking poem about not being seen. And with each line, Ashley slowly backs away, taking one step at a time. One step, then another. Tears well up, and Jimmy knows exactly what this means. Ashley speaks the last words, "Love always, Ashley." She turns away before the tears finally come, and we freeze.
She turns away and falls right into Craig's arms. She
falls right into Craig immediately snaps a Polaroid of her beautiful agony, and we're out.
Yeah. I feel terrible. I'm sorry. I don't feel I feel a little sorry for Ashley. I feel terrible for Jimmy. Because the guy, like you said, he was just owed a conversation, and she did everything in this episode except be direct with him about what the issue was, except in that one moment about the pictures.
The irony is that she blames him for not being direct and speaking his feelings, which is true. It's hard to know what he's really thinking. And when you're with a person like that, it can be maddening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel if you feel like you're having to like pull it out of them,
draw everything out of them. Yeah.
But like, it's a two-way street, and she could have been that the person to like bring that out in a healthy way and have the actual like hard conversation. Instead, I'm starting to realize she kind of just made her choices on her own and. And didn't, you know, like, you need the note. You need to give the note in order to take the note. It needs to be given.
Yeah, but, I mean, how often does that happen? We live in a culture of hypocrisy.
Well, yeah, and I'm a hypocrite.
Give the advice
too,
and don't take it.
That's right. Yep, that's about it. Anyway, I liked this a lot better than the last episode. A
lot better than the last one, yeah.
I thought there was some fun moments. The comedy with JT and Toby was fun. Toby was really good. Jake Goldsby was really good in this. Jake Epstein was amazing.
Yep.
Melissa was awesome. I mean, everybody was awesome. Aubrey.
Yep.
You were great.
Great.
You were double great.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that we're on the upswing, because last week was the first like true lemon that we've had of any of the episodes.
Yeah,
so
and
far.
You All guys right. agreed. You guys agreed. We got a lot of messages saying,
"Oh
that
yeah,
this is maybe one of the most skippable episodes."
Yeah.
So, but let's get into some questions. All right. As you guys know, we love hearing from you. We've got an active Discord community. Head over to dgrads on Discord. We get lots of questions from you there. You can also email us at dgradspodcast@gmail.com. We read everything and try to get back to you. And we also have a Patreon, Shane, where
we do.
Yeah. But we offer video episodes ad free and we offer them early. So, check us out there. And of course, without your support, we can't keep making the show. So we really, really appreciate everything that you guys do supporting us. It just keeps the episodes coming out. And let's get to some questions here. I got a Discord question.
Let's do it, sir.
Yes. Pup Luther, aka Toad Nixon, wrote, and this is a long time ago, it's like a deep cut here. Hey, Spinner and Jay, I've always wondered, what's one behind the scenes moment from Degrassi that still makes you laugh to this day?
Yeah.
So many.
So there were a couple that were in the same episode, and that episode, I guess it's season 3. I believe it's where Marco comes out to Spinner. It's the Pride episode.
Yeah.
But it starts off with the gang showing up at a beach, and it's directed by Phil Earnshaw, who we all love. And so we get to this beach, we pull up, and we're supposed to be unloading, you know, groceries, snacks for a picnic. And Phil tells us, you know, to ask questions. Did you bring this? Did you do this? Did you do this? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. Say like, someone brought the blanket, right? Hey, did someone buy the marshmallows? And we're like, marshmallows? What? So everyone just starts cracking up at this thing. He's like, yeah, marshmallows. And we look at, like, someone looks up the spelling. It's really how it's spelled, but no one says it that way. Leave it to Phil, right? So then we shoot the scene, and we're going through the groceries. We're improvising certain things. No one says marshmallow. And then Paige and Spinner have a little dialogue back and forth. We close the trunk, start walking off, the whole group. And then the last thing before we cut, I just turn. I'm like, wait, did someone grab the marshmallows? And everyone just cackles, heads back, and that's where we cut. And when that
Genius.
Comes up, you'll see exactly what I mean by that.
That's
it was
funny.
A lot of fun.
Wait, did that make the episode?
It did. It made the episode. That's nice. That's where it cuts. You'll see. We'll see.
Nice. God, I don't even remember anything in a scene happening like that that was that funny, but I do remember I think I might have said this before on the podcast, told the story, but I do remember somebody brought this electrocution game to set.
Me? And
yeah, you brought the electrocution game
to set. The one where you had to tap and the last one got... Yeah, I guess.
And I do just remember Goldsby not quite being able to like get to that button in time and continually getting shocked after shocked after shocked. And it was just, I just remember that being so funny. But also, like, you know, what happens when you're shooting? We would do some night shoots sometimes. You know, like it'd be super late after the end of a long day. It's like 3 a.m. and we're kids, right? So like we've had a ton of sugar. We're exhausted, but we're also in that liminal space, you know, where we're just everything's super funny. And there were times when we just, that, you know, like someone would call, they'd call action and we just couldn't keep a straight face. Like take after take after take. Mm-hmm. There's just no way, to the point where I was like it hurt to laugh and there were tears coming out of our eyes and yeah, just ruining the makeup. So yeah, it was really fun. There was always something funny happening on set.
Yeah. And I look back now to moments like that where the crew desperately wants to get home, because if you're already in overtime, now you're pushing the call time for the next day for everybody.
That's
you're
right.
Making the second AD's life that much harder because they have to reprint all those, or you know, go make all those changes. The whole next day gets screwed up. Mm-hmm. And these crew members who are making a fraction of what the actors are making, you know, grown men and women want to get home to their families, and these stupid kids are just laughing.
Stupid, stupid kids.
Sorry. Sorry, guys.
No, it's true. We are sorry.
To all the crews we've ever worked with when we were in front of the camera, we apologize.
All right. Well, let's get to an email.
Yeah.
we got a lovely email here from Aaron, a longtime fan here. Just wanted to ping you guys with a comment and a question. First, for Mike, Jay was one of my most hated characters. You're welcome. And I had many cringe moments watching his behavior, so it's refreshing to replace that image with your real personality. And no, it's nothing like your character. That's very sweet. Thank you for noticing. Hmm. Also, for Shane, Spinner was always my favorite character.
Yes.
Period. I find it so endearing and humble that you all never watched the show. It's been fun to hear commentary and some behind the scenes fun facts about the process of making the show and the actors. My question, you guys both played characters that were pretty sketchy at times. Did you ever go to bed at night feeling icky or guilty for something that you had to portray, or was it easy to disassociate? I am so empathetic that I feel like some of the things I had to do or say as a villain would keep me up at night. Aaron with an E. A million thanks. Thanks for that question, Aaron. And a great question. I, in fact, did feel slightly disturbed, but that was because, I mean, for, you know, it's all pretend and I understand what I'm doing is heinous, but it was more about the, I was bullied in school for being goth, actually. And my tormentors were the people that I drew the character of Jay from. So, like, kind of like aesthetic, like the way they were, the language, the way they spoke and walked and talked and did the bullying and stuff. That's what I took that from them. And I felt like I was getting back at them for being able to sort of put that on into a TV show and to sort of use them. But I did go home at night, worried more about like the effect of living in a Jay-like state for so many hours of the day, because I was starting to, the lines were starting to get blurry, if you know what I mean, like internally. And I did feel, I felt a little worried that maybe I was losing pieces of myself and replacing them with this guy.
I'm on the other side of the fence. It was a nice escape for me because I was not a bully. I got bullied a little bit when I was younger, not all that much, but I was never doing any bullying. And to then be able to step into those shoes, and like Spinner's bullying for the most part up until here is pretty benign. So it was just fun to kind of play this tough guy for a moment and get in the faces of my smaller, more frail friends,
frail
like
friends.
Jake here, where I could just have a fist up against his face along with my face. And there was nothing he could do about it. No, I didn't lose sleep over it. We had fun. The hardest thing was trying to be very angry with friends where we just wanted to laugh because we were all having such a great time together. But no, I slept like a baby.
Nice. Nice. You know what? I just want to say too, there were parts of Jay that I admired that I took for myself. Jay has exudes confidence. He can kind of he can grease wheels in certain situations to give people the slip or to make things go a little bit more his way, and just a general feeling of being able to handle himself that I kind of stole from him. On the flip side of that, I also gave Jay more human characteristics that I feel like I possess. So more compassion and empathy in some moments. Maybe that's why the character went in the direction that it did. And so maybe, I don't know, but maybe it's kind of like an exchange program where I gave a little bit of myself to Jay and Jay gave a little bit of himself to me.
And together you become stronger or weaker, depending on how you see it.
I got to talk to my therapist. Take us home, Shane.
All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Anything was better than last week. And now hopefully we're on to greener pastures.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
In the weeks to come.
It's going to ramp up.
You know about the Patreon. The only way to see our lovely faces week after week would be to subscribe there.
If you like the show, rate us and review us on all of your podcast listening devices and apps. That's how we get out there. And that's how more Degrassi fans find us. So it really helps the algorithm. That would be much appreciated.
Thank you for everyone that tunes in week after week and everyone who subscribes. We love you. We appreciate you. And we're going to continue pumping out grade A quality stuff for you. So this has been another D-Grads podcast with Shane Kippel, Mike Lobel, and we will talk to you next week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.